Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Well, and welcome to a why hello, old friend. Well, yes, I am down for a little JMB, of course. You know me. Edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Friends, Alabama's 56-7 dismantling of MTSU is a game to be savored. It is an invitation to knowingly nod. This is why Saban had that grin plastered all over his face. This is a game in which we marinate. We don't splash around. So let's spend a few minutes doing just that on this holiday weekend. Let's start with offense like we do. Let's start with quarterbacks like we do. Alabama did play three quarterbacks. And more importantly, most importantly, three quarterbacks could play. Jalen Milroe clearly was the lead quarterback. He started, and I thought he played fantastic. He went first, and I thought he looked like a star. Under construction, but still, he looked like a star. His poise during the game, his poise after the game, his interview after the game on the field and in the media room, he just looked like an emerging star. Now, on the day, Milroe was 13 of 18 passing for a buck 94. He passed for three touchdowns. All three looked very good, very clean, and he rushed for two, in which he certainly demonstrated his athletic ability. He had no turnovers and what appeared to be no near turnovers. He was just on top of his game. Jalen Milroe played very, very well. He had long passes, long touchdown passes to Isaiah Bond, 47 yards, Jermaine Burton, 48 yards. Both of those passes sort of across the field looked very, very similar. And so there's a route package there that it looks like Milroe is interested, are really comfortable throwing. So that was interesting to watch. The Niblock pass, I think, had very similar movement in direction. It was 29 yards, but all three looked really, really good. And again, Milroe looked like a leader, very poised behind center. There was a lull in the second quarter. That tends to happen. That's not unusual, but Jalen Milroe, I think sort of elevated the team to pull out of that, that morose. And there was a time early in the third quarter where it did look like, Milroe was pressing the ball to Ja'Cory Brooks, and Brooks just coming out after, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter, being suspended the first half, not playing. There seemed to be almost a nod where Milroe and perhaps the coaching staff was trying to give Brooks the ball. And that led to some wonky, uneven passing. But that's nothing unusual. It's nothing sort of outstanding or what I would call necessarily problematic. I think they should have just rolled trying to get Brooks open in the offense rather than trying to force the ball to him. But nonetheless, if that's the biggest sort of complaint we have, I think we're very, very fortunate as Tide fans. Even sort of the bad snap Milroe was able to pick up, his athleticism just almost immediately took over. As soon as he picked the ball up off the ground watching the game, I was like, he's going to do something with that. And it certainly did. He ran it in for a touchdown, which is more than what anyone should have reasonably expected. But we've had quarterbacks under center before when it's a bad snap like that. And my first instinct is always protect the ball, preserve the ball. If you lose the ball, you can't score with it. And, you know, we've talked about that in various times over the podcast over the years. And so we've had quarterbacks, the Tide has had quarterbacks back there where a low snap like that, where it looks like has to go sort of down, get the ball, and the defenders are coming in. I'll sometimes just say, go down, live to fight another play. It seemed that McCarron would do that a lot, and I would sort of root for that. Let's just go down. Let's preserve the play. Let's not risk an injury. Let's not risk a turnover. And then Milroe just very naturally picked it up and ran for a touchdown, just let his athleticism take over. And so there's a certain sort of floor that he raises with his athleticism. Now, his ceiling and floor, they flex perhaps more than other quarterbacks. But on Saturday, he looked very good, really raised his floor, and I thought raised his ceiling as well. Again, he looked like a star and under construction, but certainly looked like very, very capable of playing. Overall, I thought all the quarterbacks, the other Buckner and Simpson played, not nearly as many snaps. I think that's a clear nod to Milroe. But again, they both looked capable of playing. And what is truly an interesting sort of development, all three quarterbacks ran for a touchdown. So that doesn't happen very often that the three quarterbacks in a game will run for a touchdown, that Alabama has three quarterbacks that you would necessarily want are running for a touchdown. And we had more quarterbacks run for a touchdown than threw for a touchdown. Wow, that's sort of a surprising stat. Offense overall, Alabama was 10 of 13 on third downs. That is phenomenal, folks. 10 of 13 on third downs is phenomenal. Alabama had 431 total yards of offense. We love when that's over five because that's kind of sexy. But 431 scoring 56 points has quite enough appeal as it goes. Zero turnovers. Had I bet on the number of turnovers, I would have taken the over on like 1.5 turnovers for Alabama. And so that Alabama had zero turnovers for me personally was quite a surprise. I expected there to be turnovers. And I thought of the 431, it was very, very balanced. 226 passing versus 205 rushing. And no offensive penalties. Again, had there been an over-under, I guess depending upon where you've set it, but 2.5, 3 offensive penalties, yes, I would have taken the over on that all day. So the fact that there were zero was quite a pleasant surprise. Let's run through the offensive positions as we do. The offensive line, massive and physical. I think that stood out watching the game. They're improving. The offensive line looked good and will improve. The offensive line looked better, I thought, than maybe at any stage that it did last week. And this is, you know, first week opponent against MTSU. You could talk about the opponent. You could talk about whatever you could talk about. I thought the offensive line looked very, good. Lots of room to improve, but just the massive size and the physicality could open up some additional running lanes. I'm not mad at any sort of growth opportunity the line has, but I thought it looked good first game out. It's improving. There's a starting true freshman at left tackle. There's a tremendous amount of growth opportunity there. I think we have four. I think the coaching staff chose four of the five right players across the offensive line. Last season, it was only three of five that I thought that the coaching staff chose the right guys. Darian Dalcourt probably rotates out for Terrence Ferguson at right guard. Dalcourt wasn't terrible, but he was not the best lineman on the field, and I think he had the most opportunity, or the Alabama line improves the most, maybe, as he rotates out. Terrence Ferguson played with the twos and seemed to play with a chip on his shoulder. I think that's something I'd like to see at the right guard position with the starter. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Seth McLaughlin, I like Seth at center. He does settle the line. Let's get the right guard in there. And Seth needs to work on, for all that he brings to the table, Seth needs to work on the snaps. There was a bad snap to Milroe that went for a touchdown, surprisingly. There was a bad snap to Buckner that went for a first down. This is not a trick play. These are just athletic quarterbacks sort of bailing out a situation. But Seth needs to work on his snaps. I think there were probably a couple other snaps that weren't quite right. And so, and Seth has always had a sort of weakness there. So he truly, truly does need to work on that. The assignments, there were a couple of missed assignments, but across the board, I thought the offensive line acquitted themselves quite well. And certainly, certainly a lot of positives to build upon. Alabama played all five running backs. The younger guys appeared to be more talented. I don't know if that is truly because they are more talented, although that's not an unsafe bet. It could be because the line got into a groove. It could also be because the MTSU defenders were a little tanked, a little gassed. Either way, there's tremendous amount of athleticism up and down the five running backs. Tamarian Miller missed a blitz pickup, which led to a sack. And so that's part of the reason that he's not a starter. But that's certainly coachable. That's certainly something that he can work on. It's not that he was out there and was too slow and tackled in the backfield. He missed a blitz pickup. We don't need that to happen. In fact, we need that not to happen as Tide fans. But that's certainly something eminently coachable. And so we'll see how he progresses into week two and certainly into the season. I don't think any one particular running back was noteworthy. It was the freshman Justice Hayes with the longest run, which looked good. But I don't think anyone back over the other separated himself as the clear bell cow of the group. I think it's going to be an ongoing competition, and Alabama, the team, and Alabama fans will certainly benefit by that competition because, holy geez, these are incredibly talented running backs. And so we get the best of the best out of that position. That's going to be exciting to watch as the season unfolds. The wide receiver core was not nearly as disappointing as maybe the expectation was going into the season. I hesitate to say that there were no drops, but I don't have a recollection of a big, ugly, scary drop. And in fact, I was pretty pleased with what I saw from the players on the field. Isaiah Bond looked, again, he was probably the number one back or the number one receiver on this day. It'll be interesting to see how the number one assignment or designation sort of plays out. But Isaiah Bond had five catches, leading all receivers for 76 yards. Again, leading all receivers. And then he had a 47-yard touchdown, which, again, was a nice sort of pitch and catch situation. Jermaine Burton seemed engaged the full game, which was really nice and maybe a question that existed last year. He had only had three catches, but three nice catches, 62 yards, including a 48-yard touchdown, which was nice. Kobe Prentice, Jalen Hale, and Malik Benson also caught passes, amongst others. Jalen Hale, true freshman, so it was fun to see him in action. He was targeted certainly a couple times, and so he might be an interesting player as the season unfolds to see how his role expands. Always a big fan of Kobe Prentice. And Malik Benson is the JUCO transfer that is highly heralded. And so it'll be interesting to see how he works into the receiver core as well now that here we are in the season. So a lot to look forward to from the wide receiver group. Nothing that was especially disappointing, especially coming out of A-Day and some of the early reports from fall camps. The tight end update is brought to you by the number 12. The 12 personnel grouping was just, I know the announcers seemed to really pick up on that and spend a lot of time talking about that. But Alabama, one back and two tight ends, was a predominant field or personnel grouping on the field. And Alabama played a lot of tight ends in that 12 personnel grouping. On the first possession, I didn't watch it this closely throughout the entirety of the game, but on Alabama's first possession, four different tight ends played on the first position possession. And interestingly enough, the fourth tight end of those four was C.J. Dupree, and he only was in on the last play, the touchdown scoring play. So I thought that was quite interesting. Alabama played six tight ends overall in the game. And so that's basically the room, the entire tight end room. Saban in his post-game presser talked about the tight end group probably being significantly more talented, or at least more talented than it was last season. I certainly agree with that. And it was certainly certainly fun to watch. Danny Lewis, interestingly enough, was now there are two tight ends on the first play, so it's hard to say that one was the first one in. But Danny Lewis was the first one that I noticed watching on TV. We'll remember Danny Lewis as Brian Kelly's dance partner when LSU was recruiting him. Amari Nyblak broke out in a way Saturday that Alabama fans had been sort of hoping and rooting for. He did have a big Amari did have a big play and touchdown last season, and that was really his only other than coming in maybe to block a little bit or run a couple of routes. But his only true sort of, I guess, delivery or success was really a singular play last season. Amari replicated that in fine form Saturday. I believe it was a 25-yard touchdown last year against, what is it, La Monroe. This year, Amari has already pocketed a 29-yard touchdown against MTSU, and he had two catches for 29 yards. He definitely looks like, we talked about the tight end being sort of a chess piece, an effective sort of rook on the field, and I think Nyblak just is times two. There's a multiplier effect with his athleticism. So it's going to be interesting. The tight end position, again, Alabama has always run a lot of 12 personnel. There seemed to be more of that on Saturday, and I think that's a nod to getting Nyblak on the field. And so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But certainly exciting, exciting things to watch from the tight end position, Alabama's tight end position.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, let's flip the field to defense. And wow, lot to like on defense from Alabama. Fast, efficient. The squad rallied to the ball. It overall was pretty well stifling. Alabama held MTSU to 6 of 16 on third downs. There's a recipe here, right? There's a recipe to winning football games. And when your recipe calls for, and I've lost my stat sheet, but when your recipe calls for, 13 of 16 third down conversions on offense, and on defense, when you hold an opponent to 6 of 16 on third down opponents, that's how you win games. Alabama defense held MTSU to a total of 211 yards, logged 2 turnovers, and the defense itself was deep. Lots of players saw action, lots of players contributing. So let's talk through some of the positions, and certainly those who contributed or stood out to me at those positions. Defensive line, tip of the cap to Jaheim Otis. He's a cat that walked in last recruiting class at Alabama, and he tips the scales over 400 pounds. And Saturday against MTSU, just over a year later, a year and a half later, he's lining up at defensive end, weighing just over 308 pounds, right at just over 3 bills. And so lost a tremendous amount of weight. Picked up a lot of athleticism, a lot of speed, light on his feet, and even at that weight, and lining up at the defensive end. I was surprised to see that. I was pleasantly surprised to see that. Early in the game, we'll talk about DL just in general. Early in the game, Bama played 3 defensive linemen while in a dime. We spent a lot of time talking last season. Alabama would sometimes play 2 and sometimes 1 defensive lineman when it went to a dime package. And so going to playing a dime, but with 3 defensive linemen, I was very pleased to see that. Now, there was another point in the game, backed up deep in their own territory. MTSU faced a 3rd and long, and Alabama did play 1 defensive lineman with 5 linebackers and a dime personnel as well. So I thought that was, and in fact, it would have been a nickel personnel. So I thought that was interesting. A lot of linebackers, 1 DL. It's not something necessarily I want to see a lot of times against SEC personnel, where they may well choose to take an opportunity running the ball. I think part of it is MTSU was outmatched. And I get you want to have light, quick athletes on the field on a 3rd and long. I would go 3rd and long above 10, maybe, not a 3rd and 4, a 3rd and 5. I wouldn't want to take that many defensive linemen off the field. So that's going to be an interesting rotation to watch. I don't like it, although situationally I can understand it. So that's going to be interesting to see. I did like that overall, though, even though we rotated down, Alabama did rotate quite a number of defensive linemen on the field. That was fun to watch. And somebody needs to tap a towel in the shower at Tim Smith and sort of get his motor started. I'd like to see him play up to his potential, and I'd like to see that over the next couple of weeks. So we'll see how that unfolds. Linebackers, as advertised, Deontay Lawson clearly emerged as a star. I don't know that we predicted it with quite those words, but we did say Deontay Lawson was hands down the best inside linebacker that Alabama has. He recorded 7 tackles, a sack, and 2 tackles for loss. Second coming of C.J. Mosley, I saw someone suggest, and I do not disagree with that. Kendrick Blackshire, number 40, is just imposing. He stripped the ball, receiver made a catch, and Kendrick Blackshire just took it away from him. And so that was an impressive turnover there. Outside linebackers, again, as advertised, Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell, Quadarius Robinson, and Kano Coote all participated in TFLs, tackles for losses, and the additional outside linebackers played. We've talked emphatically about that being a talented group, and quite a number of players that potentially have the opportunity to step in and contribute at that capacity. So that'll be fun to see as it continues to develop. And I'm still bullish on Dallas Turner, potentially being an All-America at the position and being an early draft round pick if he elects to leave after the season. Defensive backs, again, another position that I was pleased with their performance. Cooley McKinstry does, oh yeah things at one of the corner spots, and so that's certainly nice. Tyrion Arnold looked really, really good. We've talked about when Cooley McKinstry is one of your corners, your other corner, and it doesn't matter nearly almost what their name is, they become a target. And so right from the beginning, early in the game, MTSU running the spread sort of passing offense, they took shots at Tyrion Arnold, and Tyrion Arnold acquitted himself quite well. Tyrion Arnold acquitted himself quite well. Five tackles, a TFL, pass deflection. And at one point, he demonstrated his versatility and slid into the star when there were injuries across the secondary. True freshman Caleb Downs. Whew, just take a moment and say this number two is quite a talented player. Eight tackles, six solo, one tackle for loss. He seemed to always be in position. There were a number of times where another player in the secondary had the tackle, but Caleb was there. He was there sort of almost like backing up the play. So he knew where to be, read the ball, got to the ball. There were oftentimes, even if he wasn't in on the tackle, he was the second guy there. He was there to clean up if it were needed. And so that just, and I noticed that a couple of times, such that I just, not really watching him, but just watching the game, I said, that number two is always in position. He's always sort of ready. To think that he's a true freshman, quite impressive. Certainly one to watch. As an Alabama fan, Caleb Downs is certainly one to watch. Jalen Key, I thought he was very intuitive. He had an interception where he just cut off the receiver, stepped right in front of him. He did have an injury, and I'm hopeful, and I've seen some unofficial reports that that he's going to be okay and back. He's certainly a talented player, and he's one of our portal players, and so it was good to see him step in and contribute. He started on the game, and so that's certainly exciting as well. And so hopefully no injury there. You know, there's a lot to like here in the secondary, and so it's going to be fun to see how this unfolds. But if someone doesn't mind swatting that injury bug away, I think that's going to go a long ways to helping this Alabama team. All right, let's talk special teams a little bit. Reichert was 7-7 of PATs. He didn't have a field goal opportunity. I'm not mad at that. That's just Alabama scoring a lot of touchdowns. Reichert routinely put the kickoff in the end zone, deep in the end zone, so I thought that was phenomenal. Very pleased to see that. James Burnup had three punts. He averaged 46.3. He had a long of 53, and he had one inside the 20. Sign me up for that. I'll take that stat line every day. Only having three opportunities speaks to the proficiency of the offense, so that's nice too. But I like to see Burnup continue to develop. I have not historically been a big fan of his, but if he puts up these numbers, then that's what he's here to do. Super excited about that. Kool-Aid McKinstry returning punts. I'm over it. He had five with a long of 33. He also drew two targeting flags. Not him personally, but as he was being tackled, his tacklers drew two targeting flags. One early in the game, and MTSU lost a player as a result. And then another later in the game, which seemed to be even a more physical hit that even looked more targeting-ish than the first one. And that was not ruled targeting. But certainly McKinstry was no worse for the wear. And it looked like he left the game and went into the tent at that time. And so I was afraid that maybe he had a concussion. Turns out that's not a fear, not a concern there. However, I'm kind of all over it about McKinstry returning punts. I know he's incredibly athletic, but he's also sort of the franchise cornerback. I'd much rather have Kool-Aid. He's demonstrated what he can do from as a punt returner standpoint in the context of his pro career. And so just play corner, be the best corner in college football. The pros know that you can return punts. That's fine. Let's find one of these youngsters and have them out there return punts. I'm okay with it. I just don't want to lose McKinstry to a punt return, much like Alabama did. Eddie Jackson, a couple of years ago, several years ago at this point, I guess. but certainly something that we don't want. Alabama returned one kickoff for a loss of 3 yards. Kendrick Law returned the ball to the 23, and they'll give it to you on the 25 just for writing your name on the test. All right, so what's up next for Alabama? Texas comes to town, and wow, does this promise to be a great game. Texas is talented and incredibly dangerous offensively. I absolutely love the test that this game poses for the Alabama defense. It's going to be a very, very exciting game, and I think the defense is going to be really the difference in the game for Alabama. Offense, from an offensive perspective, if Alabama can just demonstrate incremental improvement, then that's all that's needed. That's all that's needed. I think Vegas has it as a six and a half point margin at this point in time. That's going to shift. That's going to move. That's going to move with the money. If you're asking me, I think this is a 27-16 style ball game, certainly with the good guys on top. All right, so let's go administratively. Let's go off the field altogether and go administratively. And I'm sort of flipping some screens here. We haven't done this in a while, and I've committed to doing this, going back and bringing some of the reviews, those that have left five-star reviews. And I'm looking at the iTunes store. Now, these are dated a little bit, but no less appreciative. Are appreciated. And so I'm going to call out a couple of the more recent, and then I'm going to say, hey, fan base, we need a new batch of reviews, and not just the five-star ratings, but also reviews, because they're a lot of fun and they help people find us. And so I'm going to go back a little bit because these are the most recent that we have. So again, we're looking for a fresh batch. But Gumpy G said, I was getting a little worried, but I should have faith. The team position reviews are the best in the business. And this is the only, all caps, only podcast that I've seen that interviews experts for upcoming opponents. Each week, I know more about our team and each week's opponent than my family and friends. Love it. Keep it going. Fantastic. That's September 1 of 2022. So that's a while ago. But he said, hey, Alabama Football Podcast is back for the 22 season. Yes, and we're back for the 23 season as well. So we appreciate that, Gumby G. We do love the interviews, and we love hearing that you do as well. Cal123W said, great, five-star, great podcast. This is about A-Day time frame of 23, April 23. This podcast has been around for 13 years. Which is a testament to their love and loyalty to Alabama football. You'll find the content insightful and shared in a way you won't find anywhere else. I've been listening for many years, and it's one of my favorites. Thanks, Cal. 123. We so greatly appreciate your loyalty and dedication to the podcast. This will be our 14th season, and I just can't believe it. That's been quite a run. So for good for us at the podcast, and great on you all for listening. If we didn't have sort of an active fan base, we would have stopped doing this a long time ago. And so you guys keep us doing this, and we appreciate it. We would love a fresh batch of reviews, and we love every bit of engagement that we get from our fan base. So we really do appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dr. J, in our virtual tailgate, we do virtual tailgates before every game. You have an opportunity to participate in that if you'd like. But we pick the upcoming game, and Dr. J was closest in picking the score for the MTSU game. He said 47-7. And so we're 56-7. So he's certainly the closest there. So congratulations to Dr. J. Doug will get the prize out to you, and we'll go from there. Podcast support team. Look, this is the best deal in the Alabama fan universe. It's $2 a month with an opportunity for a 30-day free trial, or it's $18 for the full year, full calendar year, with the 45-day trial. The running joke in our virtual tailgates, and even a group of us that get together, which you have the opportunity. This is the gateway to all of that good stuff, joining the support team there. The running joke is that this is the most underpriced thing that I could double, triple, quadruple the pricing and still have as many folks participating. That's probably true. I want a lot more people to participate. So, hey, give it a whirl virtually for free for a good significant piece of the season. And you tell me if this isn't certainly well worth it. We're recording this podcast on Sunday afternoon. The raw version is going to go out to this group on Sunday afternoon. I don't know when it'll download with Monday being on a holiday. It might be Tuesday or Wednesday before it actually gets out to the masses. You'll have it Sunday afternoon. The Texas interview is Tuesday night, due to the holiday, and it will post, to that group. The raw version will post Tuesday night as opposed to what it may end up being Wednesday or Thursday. Again, sort of given the holiday making for a short week. So it's worth it if you like the content. It's worth just the early access for a couple of weeks for free. And then $2 a week during the season or $2 a month during the season. It's worth it just for the early content release, I think. So give it a shot. Head over to Alabama Football Podcast for the sign up and a lot of just supporting information there. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll take on every one of those. In the meantime, as we do, Roll Tide, happy Labor Day in Margaritaville. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course, Roll Tide.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.